All right, everybody, get a nice lunch break. Yeah. And I just want you to know it's totally okay to eat on screen. I know some people, oh, look, a lot of you are. Good job. Okay, yeah. Yeah. We just, very informal that way. So, interesting, I went in for some lunch and my husband hands me this article that from the New York Times that says, ban of yoga may be lifted for schools in Alabama. Since 1993, Alabama put a ban on, let me find the, school personnel shall be prohibited from using any techniques that involve the induction of hypnotic states, guided imagery, meditation, or yoga. And this is what, when I started teaching meditation, I couldn't get any traction with the schools. And I was lived in West Lynn where Lisa lives. And it was because we have such a strong Christian base and they just felt it was pagan. It was, I mean, they had all these ideas about what it was going to be. And, you know, I tried going through the counselors and I got a few kids through some counselors, but it was, things have come a long way. And there's the guy who's trying to put this bill through in Alabama is making the point to many of the legislatures, their wives do yoga, right? It's like, it's not, they equate it with Hinduism, with what, and in their minds, that's pagan religion, right? And so, so once again, the brilliance of Jon Kabat-Zinn and these early bringers of this to the country to bring the term mindfulness instead of meditation. Because I would say, I hope, I mean, you'll come up with your own decision about how this works. But to me, mindfulness is a valid, powerful path that can, you know, Eckhart Tolle's teachings all stem from becoming present. By being completely in the present moment, you can experience presence, as in that sense, that place of ultimate connection and love and wisdom. And you get there, and mindfulness of all your experiences, physical, subtle, and super subtle, are what get us there. So I just tend to use meditation more. Mindfulness is more about us learning the tools to be present, and they have meditation techniques that give us pathways to experiencing that transcendence that many of us are looking for. So anyways, I thought that was timely. So how are you feeling? I mean, this is our only long day like this. Are you hanging in at least a little bit, able to do this? Okay. All right. Then let's do this. If you're ready, I want to kind of, I'm going to talk to you while you finish eating about the Ishta Devata. And Ishta Devata is, I want to say on one hand, you know, we call it, we invoke the Ishta in our opening invocation, right? We call on the Ishta. And it is fair to say that the Ishta is your personal divinity. But I think a better way to look at it when we have more time to flush it out is that your Ishta is your bridge. Your Ishta is your bridge to cosmic consciousness or that transcendence state of bliss and wisdom and love. The Ishta is a bridge. And it's uniquely personal to you. I mean, your Ishta may turn out to be a cultural, you know, Ishta. We would say that Jesus, the different types of Buddhas we have the Buddha of compassion, Avalokiteshvara. We have Amitabha. There's lots of Buddhas. In Hinduism, there's lots of gods. And they represent attributes and qualities of of compassion or wisdom or love. One of the Amitabha is limitless light, and Amateyas is limitless life. I mean, these gods, these devas — deva means god — are aspects of the divine. They are symbols for aspects of the divine. And what has happened in the Christian Western traditions is there was an immediate sense of pagan, you know, ooh, cross your fingers, we can't do this, when it was just another way of getting to what we might call God. It was another way in. It was a fuller way. It's a little more in line with those of you who are familiar with some of the Native American teachings. You know, there's the spirit of the earth, the spirit of the trees, the animals all have spirits. These are all aspects of the divine. And one of the things that many of us are attracted to meditation for is that it gives us a way to access this something we know is there that breaks us free of this image of a white man in a long beard up in the sky, you know, passing judgment on you, right? You're good, you're bad, you know? And in truth, actually, I shouldn't say truth, in my experience, that is a construct of the human mind. Because judgment and right and wrong are constructs of the human mind. And what we're learning through meditation is it's all perfect. Perfectly perfect right at this moment. We're learning to accept it all as it is, and something we might see as sinful or evil in our old thinking. Today we look at it and we go, well, of course they did that. Look at their background. Look at everything that's happened. Of course they did that. Of course they did that. And it's not right. It's not wrong. It just is. And Kriyananda would call this, we are living in the garden of God. And everything in the garden, it's a full experience. There are swamps, there are swampy, slushy, composty, stinky places, and there are verdant, beautiful, you know, fragrant places, but they're all part of the garden and they're all needed. They all provide they have a role to play, right? We each have a role to play. And meditation is teaching us to understand our role, make peace with our role, and play it without believing it's us. We're all here playing a role, but it's not who we are. Who we are, if you want to accept this, I'm not trying to indoctrinate you, but when you go into meditation and you move past all the junk on the shore of Lake Michigan and you get out where it's calmer, and you get to experience that place inside you, you know for yourself that this is real. This experience is real. And it doesn't involve a man in a white beard. It's an experience of incredible connection and love and bliss and acceptance and calm and peace. And it's real. And in the Eastern traditions, they would say that experience is you experiencing your true nature. Or if you're a Buddhist, your Buddha nature. That's the truth of who you are. Because that is who you are when you are not your thoughts, you are not your role, you are not this, we'll get into this later, we're not this bundle of karma working stuff out on the earth plane. This is what we are when we're not all that. And in the meditation tradition, we would say that would be the eternal part of us. And that all the experiences we're having here right now, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. or having a human experience. And it involves disappointment, it involves loss, it involves fear, it involves love, it involves grace, it involves joy and contentment. It's a package. It's a full package. So,
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure I'm clear on something about Ishtar, and maybe it's, as you've told me before, there's no rules. It's different for everybody. But I assume my Ishtar is also my higher self, to put it in another terms. And I don't know if that's what you're speaking to, or are you speaking to something outside of myself?
Oh, it's definitely not something outside of yourself. No, okay. No. It's within you. Whether you want to call it your higher self.
Okay.
I would almost say that, yes, absolutely. And open it up to more than that.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. I just wanted to confirm that.
It's something that's within us.
Right.
But this, all of this I just talked about, this bliss, this love, this wisdom, this clarity, this remembering who we are. This is, the way they put it is that if you were to experience the literal energy of this in this state of consciousness we're in now, it would burn us out. It would be like trying to plug your hair dryer in directly into the generating station. It would burn up your generator. We need something in the middle to help us grow and prepare ourselves to handle the magnitude of the magnificence. And so that's the role that Ishta plays. The Ishta is the bridge. The Ishta is a part of you. It's within you. And it's a bridge to the wholeness of all of it. So some of you, your Ishta very well could be Jesus. Nothing great, right? I'll tell you some Ishta stories if we have time today, because I've found that they actually do help people sometimes. But so the main thing is Ishwara is your personal deity, your personal divinity. And the way we're going to find that today, we're going to take steps to guide you into your Ishta, which is why I'm saying, for some of you who already have one, I'm looking at each one of you, but you don't know I'm looking at you. Oh, well, such a Zoom. You know, things may evolve today. And I would encourage you to be open to that. All right. So what we're going to do is I'm going to give you some questions. Let me see if there's anything else I want to say ahead of time. Okay. Main thing is to find your Ishta. This is all the work we've been doing this morning. To find your Ishta, we have to transcend this state of consciousness. We need to open ourselves to touch that deeper place inside us, which for today we'll call the subconscious. It's a part of you that knows things that your conscious mind isn't aware of. And when we go in to meet our Ishta, discover our Ishta, it's really important to do everything you just did in this previous exercise, is trust what comes up. There is no point in fighting it. None. And I'll tell you a story. So my first time coming up with my Ishta, with Kriyananda in a retreat, and he's doing this, and I get, now you got to understand this about me. I was raised Catholic, right? Catholic school, kindergarten through 12th grade. And I loved God. I got to tell you, I loved God. I loved Jesus. I loved it. But come high school, it was the 60s, man. It was late 60s, 70, 71. And it's like, you know, this world is opening up here. And I don't know about this. And I'm not sure there isn't more. And I had very, very, what I would say, progressive liberal nuns who taught us, because we were in Hawaii And in Hawaii, we've got a very strong Buddhist undercurrent and the Native Hawaiian undercurrents within the culture, right? So I was kind of prepped for this bigger concept of God. I wasn't ready for college when I finished high school. I was so fucked up. I was so magnificently fucked up. And I knew I wasn't ready for college. So I went to Europe. My mom was doing a junior year abroad. She'd gone back to school and my parents got divorced. And I went with them. I didn't live with them, but that was my excuse to go. And I just had this thing back in those days. You could go into a church. You could literally just walk into a Catholic church anywhere. They were always open, right? And I was living outside of this little town, and we had our own little church. And I walked in there one day because I was so messed up. I was so messed up. And I don't remember if I was kneeling or sitting in the pew, you know? And I'm looking at these statues that are similar to the statues I grew up with, and this deep love of God. And this thought comes to me. It literally, like a voice in my head that said, if Jesus is the Son of God, well, you are also a child of God. And for the first time, Jesus was not the stopping point. I don't know how to explain it so much. It was a revelation for me. It was like everything Jesus was, I could be too. I wasn't separate. I was in the eyes of God. I was just like Jesus, and Jesus is God, and Jesus is all of it. And I felt this incredible sense of, oh, I have a direct path to God that doesn't need to go through Jesus. Some of you that'll make sense to, some of you it won't. That's okay. And in a way, that was in 1972, and that kind of started me on this path, right? And so part of the path involved hating Catholicism. And I became, in the 80s, I became a Catholicism is fucked up. It is, they don't get it. It's like, it's abusive. It screwed me up. It's like, I was a hater, and I didn't want to even hear the word Jesus. And in the 90s, when I had children, I wanted to give them some kind of moral foundation, but I didn't want to take them to a church that mentioned Jesus. So we found a church. It was a non-denominational church. It was a unity church, and there can be some unity churches that are very Jesus oriented, but ours wasn't. And I start going to this church. It's like, great, no Jesus. No Jesus. I didn't want to hear the word Jesus ever again. Okay. This is where I'm coming from. I have Catholicism. It is out. I still love God, but Catholicism is out and everything that went with it. So this is what happens. Kriyananda says, he leads us through the process I'm going to lead you through today to find our Ishta. And who shows up? Mother Mary. I'm like, what the fuck? Literally, it was like, it's not going to be you. And I resisted it. I was like, no. And I kept looking for something else. I wanted something else other than Mother Mary, you know? And it wouldn't, she wouldn't leave. And I kept trying to turn it into something else and trying to turn it into something else. And I was pissed because I didn't want anything to do with Catholicism. Well, I ended up having to make some kind of peace with it because I couldn't, and everything else I tried to turn into anything else came back as Mary. And so finally I said, okay, fine. It's not going to look like the Mary of Catholicism. I'll make it look like a different Mary. Well, that didn't work either, right? But one day, so I finally just kind of let this Mary thing be there, and I started just accepting it, but she changed form. She changed form, and I could even draw you a picture of what she looked like. It was almost like a drawing, and she had hair. It didn't occur to me I would do this. It's like if this is the head, it was just a circle with dots for eyes, just like a drawing, and hair that was like this, oh, now I do this to you. It's like a little halo, but it was black. It was a little jiggy. And it was just, she had an outline and her body. And she had little triangles of diamonds down her front. And she was flying around me. And she was biting me. And I went to Kriyananda. This is the next year. I go to Kriyananda and I'm like, I just sat down with him and I went, my Isha is biting me. And he goes, oh, maybe she's trying to get your attention. And I was like, what? What? Okay. That was all he said. No more guidance, right? So I go back to my room and I'm meditating with my Ishta and I'm like, okay, practice no resistance. And I let her just bite me. And she ate me up. But she didn't eat me up. She ate up a part of me that was the shell, the hull, those pieces of me that I've been trying to transform through. And I felt different. It was all symbolic. It was all, and if any of you are thinking I'm having a Pixar level animation here, it's not. I'm sensing this is what's going on. I am not a visual to the extent that April or some of you are, right? So I want you to know, even if you just have these thoughts that are happening, that's how it's speaking to you. And so this became my Ishta. I had this one Mary, and then this other one came in and started to trust her. And I started really transforming and changing. And then years later, another female Ishta showed up for me. And it was my hula teacher when I was growing up in Hawaii. And everything about her embodied that sense of deep, grounded connection to the earth, the wisdom of the earth. So I got these three. This took over 15 years. These three Ishtas showing up. And some of you, your Ishta is going to evolve today over the next few weeks. And I've got these three, and sometimes one would show up, sometimes another, sometimes they'd all three be there, right? It was really beautiful. And then, a few years ago, I was at a retreat, and I had a Kundalini awakening. Now, we'll learn more about that later. And what happened was, I went to my teacher, Sally, and I looked at her and I said, Sally, I have a cobra on my head, because I literally had a cobra that had shown up and it was risen up my spine and it was above me. It was a cobra and it was sitting on me like this, sitting on me. And that cobra became my Ishta for years, for several years. And then, just a few months ago, one of my brother disciples sent me a picture of Kriyananda. It's a picture nobody's ever seen. And the Shakti. Shakti means the energy, the grace, the quality that you are seeking. Right? Just knocked me over when I opened this picture. And for the first time, my guru became my Ishta. But hear me. My guru, with this picture that I'd never seen, nobody's ever seen, just this disciple sent it to me. But now I have my guru. He's dead, so he can now be my guru, my Ishta. Very important, your Ishta is not a person who is alive. Because people who are alive are human. And when they're human, they may have a day where they're grumpy, nasty, they don't pay attention to you. And then your world is shattered. So it's really important your Ishta is not a human right now. So now, and this stays with this group, But this is a teaching. My guru is my Ishta, but I have my cobra who's here with me. And on my cobra now, I have my three Ishtas. Now this is 20 some years, but I understand those pictures of the Buddhas and the deities, and they have all these other little deities sitting on them. It's like, I got it. It's like, oh, this is what it is. It's this evolution, and this is our evolution. But each one of these symbols carry enormous shakti, enormous power for where I was at that point in my evolution and what I needed. And they're not gone. And they have been my refuge, my grace, my love, my acceptance. And this is what the Ishta, I hope, will open up for you. It's the bridge. Your Ishta is the bridge. It's the bridge. And ours is to form a relationship with our Ishta. And that's what this first part of our training this week is going to be, is about forming a relationship with your Ishta. So we have a few requirements of an Ishta. An Ishta, and I used to be looser about this, but it doesn't work. So I'm going to be really clear. Your Ishta has to have a face. Your Ishta needs to have eyes and a mouth that can smile at you. Now, a lot of people want their Ishtas to be a pet, right? That works if that pet can smile, or if in your mind it can smile, okay? And it needs to have arms. And some would say it needs to have legs. It needs to be anthropomorphic. Okay? And so, as we go through this process, and I'm gonna take you back to a little bit beforehand, and we're going to really start to think about what is the quality that is most important to you, because that's what your Ishta needs to represent at this point. Your Ishta is the symbol for the quality that you value above all else. Or, as Kriyananda might say, your Ishta is the highest ideal you can conceive of. The highest ideal you can conceive of. Of what is divine, what it is, whatever it might be. Okay? So before I'm going to take you some exercises to help you discover what it is you value, what that ideal is. And then we'll go through a meditation. I'm going to take you through a little ritual of sacred space beforehand, which I'm not going to break it down for you. We'll do that later on, but I'll take you through it. It's a ritual of sacred space. And then we'll go through the meditation to find your Ishta, or re-meet your Ishta, or have your Ishta let you know it's time for a change. So before we do that, yeah, questions. Yeah.
So should we be trying to kind of like clean slate our mind of the previous Ishta?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Not at all. It just does it. You don't have to do anything. You go. Good question. Really good question. Because you're never going to clean slate a past Ishta. Mm-hmm. That Ishta is always going to be part of you. That energy, that Shakti is always going to be part of you. And so for those of you who your Ishta shifts today, part of the meditation will do for you will be to make sure that that energy, the Shakti, they merge together. Yeah. So any other questions? I see some puzzled looks. What do we think?
I have a question, Karen.
Yeah, just go ahead. Yeah.
could your ishta be your parent?
Yeah.
Who's not alive?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you.
Just for the record, do you see the picture behind Agnieszka?
Yogananda.
That's Paramahansa Yogananda, yes. And that is my absolute favorite picture of him. It was taken shortly before he died. And you can see, when you look at it, you can see he is so filled with, he's not part of the earth anymore. He is totally connected to the Shakti. I don't even know what to call it at this moment, but anyways, that is my absolute favorite picture. And Yogananda, the lineage of, and we'll talk about this another time, that my guru is the same, is from the lineage of Yogananda. So, but we'll talk about that more a little time. But I just saw the picture, Agnieszka. I wanted to let everybody know. Ramon.
Is there a possibility that you won't find an ishta?
Yeah. But you will over time. And there is, that happens sometimes, that the first time out, nothing comes, and that's okay. And then if nothing comes today, then what you do is you do your best with the meditation, the process that we're going to do. You still do the meditation during the week. But now what you do is you go through your week with a real sense of openness. Because what will happen then is it will just, it'll show up.
Gotcha.
It'll show up. And the bottom line is it's going to show up when it's ready.
Yeah.
So yes, that is a real possibility. So don't feel bad if that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. Don't feel bad at all. It's normal. In fact, there's lots of different ways to teach this. And one of the ways to teach it is to literally take weeks and weeks and have the symbol more organically appear. So if that's what is happening for you, that's a valid way.
Yeah.
Good question. Anybody else? No? All right. Well, then let's just take a moment to kind of come back into your, we're going to go inward a little bit now. Okay. And you're going to need your, whatever you're writing in, your notebook or your journal. And I'm going to ask you some questions. So make sure you have your journal ready, your pen ready. And let's just open up to this moment with a short meditation, okay? So once you've got everything ready, find your seat. So bringing your awareness into your body, into your seat, that feeling of grounded connection to the earth. Feeling that root or that line of energy that connects you to the very center of the earth. Use your breath, inhaling, soft, expanding, exhaling. Soft, releasing. And see if you can soften and surrender the physical body to this force we know of as gravity. And with each exhale, let your mind, let your body settle into that feeling of weight, that anchored, grounded connection. And so use your exhales, just a couple more breaths, using your exhales to soften, soften, and surrender. And then bring your attention to the breath. First, the breath in the nostrils, cool, refreshing. And take this opportunity to lift your gaze without opening your eyes, but to lift your gaze to the sun center, that point between your eyebrows. It's just right there between the eyebrows. In fact, I'm going to ask each of you to just lift your hand. Don't open your eyes. And just gently touch that place between the eyebrows to just get a sense of what that sun center is. And so you have a sense. Just keep gently, gently touching it, rubbing it. Gently, gently. It's going to tingle a little. And then gently let the finger go and see if you can still sense that sensation. Sense that point we call the sun center. And lift your gaze towards that. Now the gaze isn't focused directly at the sun center. We focus it at 12 to 14 inches. The idea is to just lift your attention to the sun center, and you are gazing at the screen of your mind. You're sensing the sensation at the sun center, that point you just touched. But your awareness is at the screen of your mind. Okay. And then bring your attention back to the coolness in the breath. Just a portion. Keep a portion of your awareness right there at the sun center. Okay. And then bring the breath down into the chest. Gently expanding and opening with the inhale, falling with the exhale, softening, surrendering. And for just a couple more breaths, drop your attention all the way down into the abdomen. And as you inhale, feel the abdomen expanding and the abdomen falling. And as it falls, feel that increase in weight in your seat. And as you inhale and it expands, you can still see if you can sense that there's a sensation of increased pressure. And as you exhale, it's increased pressure, but it's different. Beautiful. So just ground yourself here in your seat. Bring your attention back to the center of the earth. Follow that line of energy up into your seat, into your sit bones, up into the spine. Move your awareness up your spine, through the neck, up through the center of the head, up out through the top of the crown. And just float in that spacious, expansive awareness. And once again, find that, whatever that feels like to you, awareness that this spaciousness, this space is surrounding you, holding you. Surrounding you and holding you. And now, take a moment, just rest, Stay present in your body. And now turn your attention inwards. And by that I mean, what is the sensation inside your body, inside your legs and your feet? What is the sensation inside your arms and your hands? What is the sensation inside your torso, your neck, your head? And just take whatever's there. There's no right or wrong answer here. And now we're going to begin the ritual of sacred space, which we will dive into in more detail in a future class. But for now, bring your attention to the soles of your feet, the tips of your toes, to your calves, your knees, your legs. And then imagine that you are beginning to draw that energy from your toes up into your feet, up into your ankles, pulling it up your calves, into your knees, from your knees up into your thighs, and then bringing all of it into the torso. All of it into the torso. And then bring your awareness back to your hands, your fingers, your arms. And now begin to draw that energy from the tips of your fingers up into the fingers, into the palm. From the palm, draw it up into the wrist. From the wrists, draw it up the forearms into the elbows, and from the elbows, draw it up the upper arms, up into the shoulders, and then let it drop all of that energy into your torso. So all of this energy is now in your torso, and what I'm going to ask you to do is to, in a moment, don't do it yet, I'm going to ask you to inhale, and as you exhale, you're going to imagine that all that energy in your torso is collapsing into a tiny tube that runs the length of your spine. It's a sacred channel we call the Sushumna. We're going to collapse all that energy in condensed form into the spine. So when you're ready, be comfortable, awareness in the torso. When you're ready, go ahead and inhale. And then as you exhale, just mentally collapse all that energy along the length of the spine, and all that energy is now contained in this tiny tube at the center of the spine, the Sushumna. Now we'll learn all those words later, but for now, bring your attention to the very base of your tailbone. And imagine there's a golden ball of light right there at the base of the tailbone. And we're now going to very gently begin to lift that golden ball of light up through this little channel, up through the spine, and we're going to lift it slowly so that it comes to the lower back. And just keep lifting it. Keep lifting it past the lower back, up towards the area opposite the navel. And keep lifting it. This ball of light, it's finding all the energy, and it's collecting it, and it's lifting it up past the heart, and the light is getting brighter and brighter, and we're lifting it up the spine, up into the neck, past the throat, and then lift it, this ball of beautiful light. It comes right to the very center of your head. It's got all that energy in it, and you're going to project it forward now. You could let it sit just outside your forehead, right there at the sun center. This beautiful ball of golden white light. And if you don't see it, I don't see it either. You're just imagining it. You're just sensing it. You're just thinking it. You can't do it wrong. And what we're going to do in a moment is I'm going to ask, don't do it yet. I'm going to ask you to inhale. And as you exhale, you're going to sweep that ball of light around your body to the left in three circles. Okay, and then we're going to let those rings of light expand to enclose you in a cocoon of light. And then we're going to do the same thing to the right. And this is your sacred space. So here we go. Inhale. As you exhale, let that ball of light spin around your body 3 times to the left, and then let all those rings merge together in this beautiful cocoon of light that is surrounding you above, below, to the right, to the left, behind, and in front of you. And bring your attention back to that little ball of light at your sun center. And we'll do the same to the right. Inhale. And as you exhale, sweep that ball to the right 3 times around your body, and then let those rings of light expand. And here we are, each of us in our own sacred space. Our own sacred space. And we'll hold this around you as we go through this ingloriously beautiful moment of finding your Ishta. So go ahead and just pick up your notebook now and your whatever you're writing with. And I'm going to ask you some questions, and I'm going to ask you to write down the answers to the questions. So the first question is, what is my most precious piece of knowledge? What is my most precious piece of knowledge? Let me see if I can get it up on the screen without showing all the questions. Now I'm going to ask you another question, and I want you to see if you can kind of do what we did earlier, right? Where just kind of be still and allow something to come. Just allow it to come instead of trying to find it. See if you can just allow it. You may not come up with an answer. That's okay, right? That's authentic. But you'll have these in your mind over the week to come, right? So the next question is, let me just make it bigger here. What is the most loving experience I have had? What is the most loving experience I have had? The next question is, what is the most selfless act I have performed or witnessed? And with a spirit of, you know, holding this sacred space, holding the sacred space, what we're trying to do right now is really just cultivate a field of energy. It kind of shifts the energy of everything we've been doing and deepens it. And creates a space for each one of us to go deeper into ourselves. So what I'd like to do, though, is to put you into small groups again, not to discuss so much as to inspire and to share, choose one or two of these that you might like to share if it's not too personal, if it feels safe. But I know some of you are kind of struggling, right? And what happens is when we hear somebody else say thing, it jogs something, right? It brings a thought to mind. So in that spirit, I'm going to break up into groups. So we're only going to take, no more than 10 minutes because I want to make sure we have time to take you through the process of the ritual with your Ishta. But I think this is a really important piece of cultivating that field of attuning to these higher ideals, attuning to love, attuning to this selfless service, attuning to wisdom. And so when we do this, we're going to do this collectively to lift each other. Okay, so let's go into the groups with that, a little different energy than we did earlier. Okay, so I'm reluctantly doing 10 minutes. I'd rather do 8, but I'm going to do 10. Okay. All right. So let's recreate our breakout rooms. And you do not need to, you do not need to come back and report. Okay. See you in 10. Was that enough time? It was. Okay. All right. So I'm going to ask for questions before I take you to the next place. Does anybody have any questions? All right. Okay. Well, let's continue. And then if you do have some, please feel free to ask, okay? So what I want to stress, I don't know if I made this clear enough, is that this relationship with your Ishta, and we call it your Ishta, right, has the potential to be the most profound relationship you'll ever have. And it's a place of incredible, just incredible, you know, it's like you'll learn to trust your Ishta. You will learn to trust your Ishta and bring anything to your Ishta. And it's as if the Ishta is that symbol for all of the support and the love that the universe has for you, life has for you. And to the degree that you are able to accept this from your Ishta, you will open. It's not the only way. So it's not the only way, but it is a profound way. And we're going to see if it will work for this group. In the 12-step program, they have something called the higher power. We have something called the higher power. And for those of you who are in 12-step, I will let you decide if you want to use this as your higher power or if you want to keep this something separate altogether. Because there was one point in time when I was merging the two and it caused a little confusion. So this is a very sacred, sacred, sacred relationship. And so the only other thing I want to say is, one of my Ishtas showed up while you guys were on break. And he showed up and he said, "Really? You forgot about me?" And he started out as Avalokiteshvara, which is the god of compassion. Very, you know, oriental eyes and everything. But very more aloof. And as I got to know, he just showed up, right? And I started working with him as my Ishta, and then he started getting a little softer and rounder. And he was my Ishta for a whole period of time where I would go and hide in his neck, in the folds of his neck. I would hide. I would be so scared that I would just tuck myself behind his ear. And I would imagine that he was carrying me around everywhere because I was so vulnerable and I was so scared. And there were times where I even crawled in his mouth and I just completely hid away from everything. And I tell you this, not that I want to share your Ishta, my Ishta with you, and not that I want you to share your Ishtas with everybody, but I'm telling you this because what I've learned over time is that we can have a lot of doubt about how to proceed forward. So I'm kind of offering this to you more as a permission to develop a personal relationship with your Ishta that is your relationship. You know, I mean, I'm not going to go around telling people, "I crawled up in my Ishta's neck and I just was so scared and I tucked in there," you know, or "I crawled behind his little long ear," and just, you're certainly not going to go around to people saying, "Oh, I crawled in my Ishta's mouth because I just really was," you know. But I want to share that with you guys just as a way of let down everything you think you know and show up for what can unfold for you in this magical realm. And it's not really magic. It's just, it's real and it's powerful. So, okay. So
Karen, can I share something?
Yeah.
I was going to say that, I have gone through this process probably 3 times with you. Mm-hmm. And in case anybody, this is their first time, I remember just being completely stressing myself out. Like, I'm not going to get this right. I'm not going to figure this. I'm not going to find one. And then, you know, it's not going to be the right thing or whatever. And have to really just have patience and grace with yourself that, you know, it will come. And like Karen keeps saying, like, when it's ready, because it really didn't, I don't really think I quite understood it until the second and third time. So.
Yeah. And we have more time here than we did those other times when Brenda did this. I mean, this is unique to have this kind of a field and an openness and this is the focus, right? I mean, this is what we're doing. So we can go into it more depth, and we'll just explore more about the Ishta over the next few weeks. There's more, but this is where we're going to start. And so thank you for that, Brenda. And one last thing, one last little story before we go into our meditation. Years ago, I was teaching this technique. I mean, like 10 years ago, and people were very concerned that they didn't trust the symbol. And this one woman, to me, she was just a gift. It's the best teaching story. So she's over there and she goes, I don't get it. It was a golden retriever. It was a golden retriever. Why was it a golden? I don't get it. And I said, well, what was your quality? She said, loyalty. And everybody else in the room got it. What is the perfect symbol for loyalty? A golden retriever, right? And so what may not be obvious to you in the moment will become obvious. Trust it, okay? And so with that, let's get our little notebooks. And I'm going to ask you the last question for you to... actually, what I can do is let me make it bigger and I'll put it up on the screen for you because it is. So the question is, what anthropomorphic form would most fully symbolize or embody my highest manifestation of wisdom, compassion, unselfish love, and bliss? This is not your Ishta, okay? This is just to get you thinking. If there was an anthropomorphic form that embodied your highest manifestation or conception of wisdom, compassion, unselfish love, and bliss, what might it be? Just start opening your mind to that. Just a few moments. And then the next question is very simple. It's very simple. But it's to begin thinking now, what is the quality that you value most? What is the quality that you value most? And, you know, we know there's several. You may be struggling to value compassion, wisdom, loyalty, courage. Just sit with it, see what comes up, and just choose one because they are all connected ultimately, right? So today, not what you would have chosen yesterday, But after everything we've opened up to and kind of prepped the ground with today, what is the quality that you value most? And so I'd like to make sure everybody has something before we continue. So if I was a really good teacher, I'd have said, take the first thing that comes to your mind. But I let you mull it over a little bit. Does everybody have something? Okay, I see Kelsey does, Kathleen does. April, do you? Close enough? Okay. Steve, was that a thumbs up? Laura? Lisa? Finish, Lisa? Sorta? Do you have a word there? Okay, go with that. Go with that, okay? It's an entry point. It's an entry point. There's nothing permanent about this. Believe me, your ishta is going to evolve itself. Okay, this is our entry point. Lisa, Oregon Lisa. Not really?
I'm not really sure. I mean,
did you have a word? Did you have a word that came up?
Air.
What was that?
Yes, I did.
You did? Okay. All right. So work with that. Like I said, just work with that. Okay. Agnieszka? Oh, you changed it to Mishka for everybody. That was sweet. Okay. Brenda? Ramon? Okay. All right, then. Let's do the process.
Are you asking if we have a word or if we have the form?
I have the word. I just want the quality. I'm not doing the form. We're going to let that evolve.
Okay.
On its own. Okay, thank you. It's just the word. Just the word. Huh?
I've just been struggling to put it into one word, like to find the word that I know what the feeling is, the quality is, but I can't find one word to describe it.
Yeah, fine.
I mean, I
put it this way. Go ahead.
I can't. I mean, I know the phrase, I suppose, but.
How many words in the phrase?
Three.
What I would do is, this is what I would recommend for today. Because remember, this is evolving process. We're just stepping through the doorway today, right? This is like the initial meet and greet. And so choose one. Just choose one. Because they're all connected anyways. So do your best to choose one. But I won't be there, so I won't know. Okay. So. Let's go into meditation now. It doesn't take long to do this meditation because you really are going to take the first thing that comes. And hopefully by now you really know you're not going to argue with it. You're going to take it as it comes and accept it and work with that. And so let's find our seats. And I'm a little excited. Because this is like the beginning of a courtship of the most beautiful love of your life here. So find your seat, come back into your seat. But for this, please be really comfortable. I don't want anybody losing track of what we're doing because your body's uncomfortable. So be super, super comfortable. Okay. And take a moment to reground into your seat, into the earth. And then as you inhale, perhaps follow that energy from the earth up through your body, up through the crown of your head. And there you float in that spacious expanse. As you exhale, feel it enfolding you all around you. And bring back your awareness of that orb of light that is surrounding you, that golden white light, your sacred space. Reestablish yourself in that awareness. And then using the breath to bring your attention back into that heart center, gently opening it with the inhale, softening and releasing any resistance with the exhale. Into that center of your heart, from that place, sincerely, sincerely, sweetly, say to yourself, Ishta, reveal yourself to me. Ishta, reveal yourself to me. And one more time, Ishta. Reveal yourself to me. And then, when I ask this question, bring that quality into your heart, that word. Don't worry that it isn't perfect. Take the word. Just take the word, that quality. Feel it in your heart center. Feel the feeling of that quality. If it's joy, feel joy. If it's unselfish love, what does that feel like? Feel the feeling. Feel the feeling. And now I'm going to ask you and take the first thing that comes to your head, which you're good at now. What is the color of that feeling, of that quality? What is the color of your quality? And keeping your eyes closed, staying in your zone, but could you just gently raise your hand and so I know everybody has a color before we move forward? So if there is no color, let it be colorless. Let it be translucent, transparent. Let it just be colorless, okay? And now I'm going to ask you, what would be the form of this quality if it was to have a face that could smile at you, eyes that could gaze on you, arms that could hold you? What is the form of this quality? And so same thing, if you're just keep your eyes closed, stay in your zone, but just very gently lift your hand to let me know that your form has appeared. And just keep it up if you would be so kind. All Okay, go ahead and put your hands down. And we've got a few people who are still. Let's let that form. Let's just give it another minute or so and just allow. Just allow. Just hold the feeling of the quality. Hold the color of that quality. And just see what shows up. Scan through your mind, through historical figures or people who have passed that might, or maybe something you've never seen before will show up. So for those of you who found it, just kind of rest here for a few minutes. For those of you who have not, and there's more than one of you, so don't feel bad. Has something shown up yet? Just raise your hand if something has shown up in the last minute. If not, I'm going to ask you a question. Is it male, female, or neutral? And so make that call for yourself right now, if it's male or female or neutral. And allow a generic form of that to appear before you. Okay? And let it be the color of the quality. So it's a generic human form that is radiating the color of the quality that you gave your that you chose, okay? And we'll work with that as we do the meditation. Okay, so let's come back to our seat. And what we're going to do now, we're going to do a little ritual. And you're going to begin with that ball of light, envision a ball of light, the color of your quality at your sun center. It's the ball of light, the color of your quality, okay? And feel the love or the joy or the acceptance or the courage or the wisdom, whatever that embodies, feel it. Feel it in your being. And if it brings tears, so much the better. And now I'm going to tell you what we're going to do, because once we go to do it, it'll be very quick. In a moment, we're going to take that ball of light and we're going to project it upwards at a 45 degree angle, as far up and out as you can. And then we're going to push it so far. Many of you have done this technique before. We're going to push it up until we can barely see it. It's just the tiniest speck of your color. And then we're going to inhale. And as we exhale, we're going to push it. We're going to push it out into nothing. And then as you inhale, I hope I said we're pushing it out. There's no breathing with that part. And then what we're going to do is we're going to inhale. And as we inhale, I'll cue you. But then your Ishta is going to appear as that point of light. And as that point of light descends towards you, it's going to come down towards you as the form of your Ishta. And it will rest in front of you, maybe 12 to 18 inches above you and in front of you. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. So finding your seat. Hopefully a little excitement, maybe a little scare, maybe a little, what's going to happen? It's all wonderful. Hold that ball of light right there at your sun center. And now gently push it away. Push it outwards. Push it up and out, up and out, 45 degrees up and out to where you can barely see it. Push it out as far as your mind can grasp and beyond. Past the planets and the stars, past the galaxies, all the way. And when you can barely see it and it's just the tiniest little flicker, push it just a little bit more. And then we're going to inhale. And now exhale, push it out, push it in, push it away. And then as you inhale, let that light come back. And this time it's the form of your Ishta, and we draw it back down, draw it back down, draw it back down till it is resting in front of you, just a little above you, and gazing at you. And as you gaze at your Ishta, let's begin by first just bowing. Just bow to your Ishta. If you don't want to bow, it's okay. I mean, this is, you do you, you know. And then look up at your Ishta. Look at your Ishta and smile at your Ishta. Smile. Smile. And see how your Ishta responds. See how your Ishta responds. And for some of you, your Ishta has smiled right back at you, and then just bathe yourself in the Shakti and the grace of that smile. And for some of you, your Ishta may not be smiling right away, and that's okay. That's very normal. And at that point, you just ask, what do you need? What can I give you? What do you need? And see what your Ishta says. And sometimes it's as simple as offering some flowers, offering yourself. And then wherever this is for you, whether your Ishta is crystal clear and smiling and beaming at you, or whether it's a generic colored shape, imagine that from the sun center of your Ishta, a pure radiant beam of light flows down to your sun center, carrying with it all of the Shakti, all of the prana, all of the power of that quality, filling your sun center, filling your whole being. Can you stay soft? Can you accept it, receive it? And then from the throat of your Ishta, a beautiful, pure, clear, red beam of light flows into your throat, filling your throat center with that red light, and that red light now flows through your whole being, infusing every cell of you with this red light that is filled also with the Shakti and the prana of that quality your Ishta embodies. And then from the heart center of your Ishta, a pure, deep blue beam of light flows into your heart center and fills you, fills your heart, fills your whole being with this pure, deep blue. And then let the rays of light gently dissolve. And as you gaze at your Ishta, thank your Ishta for the blessing. And this is your moment to say or ask whatever you wish to say or ask of your Ishta. It could be as simple as hi. It could be something from the bottom of your heart. Just allow your Ishta to respond. Now it's time for us to take our leave of our Ishta. In our meditation, your Ishta will always be with you, is always with you. And what we're going to do over the next weeks is really cultivate this connection with your Ishta. And so once again, thank your Ishta. Say whatever else you'd love to say. And then let your Ishta just dissolve back into light. And let that light gently effervesce and float down towards you. And you can feel the light of your Ishta merging with yours. And we're going to just rest here for a few moments. I would recommend maybe just either sitting still with the presence and the feeling, or if your mind is wanting to, just gently move into Hong Sa and breathe Hong Sa. Now what I'd like you to do is to just very mindfully, no sudden jerky movements, but just very mindfully pick up your notebook and write down what you just experienced. And then we'll have a few moments for questions. So just maybe another minute or so, and then we'll have a few minutes for questions or comments. Did anybody's ishta change from previous? One, two, okay, a couple of you, all right. Oh, okay, raise your hands again. Whose ishta's changed? Okay, all right. Okay, so what we'll do is work with this ishta this week, and then next week we'll do the meditation to bring them together. But I'll do it so that it's on the recording and everybody will know. So when it's time for them, they'll know what to do. So you'll be fine this week for the meditation that I'm asking you to do. Use this new ishta, and then we'll talk about that more next week, okay? Are there any other questions besides your ishta changing kinds of questions? Did anybody run into any obstacles or resistance or Kelsey? Yeah,
for me, it was like the imagery I had was just of this circle of light. And it almost felt like I was trying so hard to see the ishta behind it that it's like they're shrouded in this light. Mm-hmm. I can like tell that there's something behind it, but I can't see it.
Oh, so what you said right there is you're trying so hard. So when we're trying, we're not allowing, right? So I would just there's the light, there's the color. You know something's in there, and just as you work with the technique, see if you can let go of all tension and all resistance to it, and trust that it's going to unfold. The bottom line is your ishta wants to reveal itself. I say itself, but for you it might be a her or a him, and but I don't know what it is, so I say itself, right, to you. And so just trust that. And see even over the course of the week what might happen. I mean, didn't we just have a new moon? I think there's some lovely energies that are unfolding for you. And so I would just be very gentle. Very gentle and allow it. Could you feel a smile coming from it, even though you couldn't?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the thing, I could feel the love coming through, but like you said, I felt like so caught up in trying to see it that, yeah.
I know. Yeah. And
I didn't get no smile.
Well, was it your ishta from before? Is it a new ishta?
I don't know what it is.
You don't know what it is?
But I too was trying really hard.
Yeah. It's
just sort of amorphous at the moment.
Well, Lisa, that tells me for you it's probably shifting.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, at this point, this comes back to the, you know, what we were saying earlier. It's give yourself time. There's no rush. I mean, it's already there. There's no rush, right? Could you feel, when you say there was no smile there, could you feel anything, or was there really nothing there?
It felt intermittent.
Okay. All right.
So okay. That is still acknowledging there's something there.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And so, you know, the meditation, and I'm serious, the first part of the meditation is just settling you, the one online, and then it takes you through the ritual of sacred space. And then it's like 8 minutes of attunement to your ishta. So if you don't have the full 16 minutes, just do that second half. And the trick for the online is if you can get it up on your phone, then you just, if you don't log out, you can just kind of cue up that meditation and it'll just kind of always be there. I mean, those of you who have been doing this before know that. Yeah. So thank you for bringing that up, Lisa and Kelsey, because that it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It for some reason, all makes sense later, right? So, and then I did see that those of you who had changed, so we'll address that next week. I do want to check in with a couple of you before it goes. Steve, how did you do with it?
Well, I found it was, in the end, it was pretty much the same sort of two Ishtas that I've sort of been evolving on. I was, there was like one additional quality that sort of came in. But the thing that I noticed was, man, it's been, you know, it has been a long time since I, you know, because it's been a while since I've tried to, you know, to make this connection or evolve it. So, like I'd forgotten all about the Ishta for a while.
Yeah, that's normal. But you found something today. You found something you can work with this week?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Okay, that's what I just want to make sure. And then Ramon, how did you get nothing?
Nothing.
Do you have your quality?
Yeah.
Do you have a color?
Yeah.
Okay, so you just keep doing same as with Lisa and Kelsey, just hold that quality, hold the feeling of the quality, and that will allow the form to present itself. It's really important not to underestimate the layers. If we have, there's so many reasons why it's difficult to find the form. If we have past associations or prejudices, or like I did, I don't even want to, I'm not even going down that road. Stay away from me. I mean, there's all kinds of things where it's just going to take time for it to bubble up, but it will. It will. So just stay with the quality, stay with the light, and see if you can at least get to the point where when that light comes back, when you bring it back, actually, I don't know if that part's on the meditation, but that you feel, you can still feel the beams of light coming towards you and sense that there is some kind of a smile or a connection. And the rest will take form around that.
Okay.
And it can take a while. I think this other system, they plan on weeks for it to kind of unveil itself. And so I think we're kind of close to a new moon. So for all we know, it could be a month. It could be or 2 weeks when the full moon comes. So your job then is to be really patient and trust. It's going to come. It's going to come. It's like a law. It's going to come. We asked, it will come. Okay. And so, if there aren't any other questions, are there any other? Then let's close with an Om Shanti. And we will pick it up again. I will see, there's no group meditations right now, so I won't see you guys till next week. But Lisa from Oregon, do you want to hang out for just a minute afterwards and chat? Okay. So let's Om Shanti and do our little Sarvesham mantra. Nope, we're going to Om Shanti because I want to get you out of here by 2. Okay. Sit on your seats. Feel your butts. Feel your heart. Whether your Ishta is there or not, if your Ishta is there, feel your Ishta. If your Ishta isn't there, feel that quality. Feel the quality. Feel the color. Feel the quality, feel the color. And let's send that out with our Shantis, okay? So inhale. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. May you be blessed beautiful dear ones, may you be blessed. And may you be triply blessed. So that in the week to come, you will come to feel and know and begin to embrace that deeper part of yourself, your Ishta Devata. Namaste. All right, loves. We'll get the videos up. I don't know. It might take a couple days or so, but we'll get in 30. I may put some of those questions up. We'll see. But otherwise, have a lovely week. If you have any questions, email me. Okay. Say good. Unmute. Say goodbye to each other.
Bye, guys. Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye. Did you say there's no...
Bye, thanks.
Bye, yeah. Steve. Bye, Ron. What?
Yeah.
There's no classes this week.
No
classes week?
This week. No group meditations this week.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought moms had another week.
Yeah, but that's moms.
Okay.
That's moms. That's okay. Moms. Moms are on. Yeah.
Okay.
Moms are on. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. So I'm going to just chat with Lisa for a little bit. Okay. All right. Okay. Bye. Bye, April. So that was a struggle. What was going on?
No, I'm just having a lot of stuff in my life right now. You know, I'm working with Kathleen too and everything.
With Kathleen?
She's working on neurofeedback right now, and she's doing chakra work on me.
Okay. So I wouldn't do too much. I wouldn't get too over, be careful. Just be careful that you don't over, because it can become like a fire hose and it's too much, you know? So my question though is, how did you do with the Ishta? Because when we come from the kind of background where you're coming from, you know, with the religion, it can be a little bit of a process here.
I've always had troubles with that, with the Ishta, and it's always been just a person of light. It's never been a form. But this time it was very, very specific. Like, I had trouble getting enough light gathered up. I had trouble sending it up. It wouldn't send up. And then when I did bring the light back, I had that very same experience where it was black in my face. Like around, like I couldn't see past this black right there, like a shroud. Very similar to Kelsey, I guess. But I could see the light behind, you know, and I was frustrated, and I was just, a lot of feelings came about, like you're not good enough to see, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just stuff like, I guess a lot of stuff from the shunnings is coming up.
A lot of stuff from the what?
When our family got shunned from the church.
Oh, the shunning. Yes.
And I don't know why. So I'm feeling like a lot of things. Like, I shouldn't commit to this program. I shouldn't commit to doing any of the typing because I'm going to get, you know, shunned out here in just a couple months, as soon as you guys get to know me better. I'm just really having a fight with it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know why? I mean, when they talk about shame, the reason shame is so powerful is because we have this fundamental need to feel like we belong, that we're connected. And shame is a way of separating us. It's literally the phrase they say is that there's something so fundamentally wrong with me. Oh shit, this is recording. Damn it. Okay, I'm gonna.